So, going to Matthew 24, yes, Yahshua does give quite a bit of events that is going to happen before that great tribulation. I don't think I'm going to have much time to cover a lot, so I'm just going to try to run through this. But Matthew 24, 4, again, what does it say, Matthew 24? You would have false prophets, false religious leaders, some who would come and even deceive the very elect. Now, before we get into history, let's consider the time in which these words were given again. When did Messiah say this, the Olivet Discourse? He said it between 30 to 33 AD. I really don't know where, but somewhere between there. And if what I'm stating again has any merit, then these events that are going to follow, these events that Yahshua was about to give us, would have to have happened between 30, 33, let's just say 30, from 30 to 70 AD. They would have to happen between there. If they did not happen within that generation, then discredit everything that I've just said. And look, we don't have to go very far to find that there was false prophets. Acts 5:36. This is very soon after the Messiah departed to his place with the Father. Acts 5:36, for some time ago, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 joined with him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, who else? Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone, for this is plain action. For if this is of men, it will be overthrown. This is Paul speaking. Paul speaking about these men that are misleading individuals. There's other examples. Acts 8:10. Now there was a man called Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be somebody great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this is the man, what is called the great power of Elohim. This man was deceiving people with magic, and these folks bought it just hook, line, and sinker. There's a lot more in Acts, verse 20. I'm sorry, Acts 20, chapter 30 and 31, when Paul is leaving Asia. Paul says to them, and from among you, your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert. Remember that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. So you don't have to look 2,000 years. This was already taking place. Right after Messiah took off, you already see these false disciples, these false prophets. John, in 1 John 2:18-19, he warns of anti-Messiah. And real quickly, we got about 5 minutes. He goes on to say that, children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that anti-Messiah is coming, even now in John's time, he says, even now anti-Messiahs have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They that went from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would remain with us. So John here is within that generation, and he's stating that there's anti-Messiahs already there. Not only that, but some of the believers even relapsed and they went apostate. I mean, this is all something that's written in Scripture. You can find it there. The reason I think we don't make those connections is that anytime we read anything in the New Testament, we see it with a perspective of in the future and not consider the time that these men were living. His disciples were living and preaching, and they wrote a good 20 years after Messiah had gone with the Father, but yet they're experiencing false religious leaders. They're experiencing apostate already. Josephus, which is a man who, he was a Jew, he was a Levite. Just a little background on Josephus real quick. He fought on both sides of the battle. He fought with the Jews against the Romans, and then it came to him that this battle that they were fighting against the Romans was not a man battle. He realized that this was a battle against Elohim. So pretty much he said, you know what, we don't stand the chance. and he told his brothers to do the same, they said, "We much rather die." So they were pretty much cornered, Josephus along with other men, and he worked it out to where we're not going to commit suicide. We're going to kill each other, and then the last one is going to have to pretty much suicide. So he played it to the point where he was the last one standing. These men started killing each other, and guess who was the last one standing? So he pretty much gave himself over to the Romans. He was a slave, and then he pretty much became the mediator for the Romans and told the Jews, "Stand down. You don't stand a chance." But Josephus was still holding the Jewish people very dear to him. What did he say about these imposters? Did he have anything to say? Josephus, Antiquities 20:8-6. "Now these imposters and deceivers persuaded the multitude to follow them into the wilderness and pretend that they would exhibit manifest wonders and signs that should be performed by the providence of Elohim. And many that were prevailed by them suffered and punished of their folly, for Felix brought them back, and they punished them. Moreover, they came out of Egypt at this time to Jerusalem, one that said that he was a prophet, and advised the multitude of the common people to go along with him to the Mount of Olives, as it was called, which lay over the city, and at the distance of 5 furlongs. He said further that he would show them that at his command the walls of Jericho will fall down." And this is exactly what Joshua was warning them about. Beware of these individuals. We're going to mislead you. There's even a historian who accounts for, no, this is Josephus, I'm sorry. Josephus also accounts for a certain man leading astray 30,000 men. And there's a lot more evidence in regards to false teachers, false prophets. I hope maybe this kind of awakens your senses when Jude talks about there's certain individuals that came into the fold corrupting, and how was it John says that many entered into the world that they were even denied that Yahshua came in the flesh. Very last point here. I'm going to make this very briefly. Maybe we can pick up here next time. The next thing that is said after the false messiahs is the rumors of wars. And honestly, there are certain things in scripture that are really timeless that you can apply to anything. And I kind of felt like this was one of those where, why would rumors of war be so significant if this is something that's pretty much happened throughout history? But there's very something unique about this era. When Yahshua was born, he was born under Augustus. What you had during Augustus was the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana was a time in which there was no wars. There was no wars during that time. This is what Wikipedia says about the Pax Romana. It says the Pax Romana is said to have been a miracle because prior to it, there had never been peace for many centuries given in a period of history. So why is it significant? It's significant because Yahshua is pretty much saying, when you see this Pax Romana start crumbling, it's time to get out of Dodge. Throughout history, we've had rumors of wars. I mean, even today. Even wars. But here, you will hear of rumors of wars. So I'm going to give you one last bit of history. Then I'm going to take some questions before we close. This is Tacitus. Tacitus is talking about the chaos. So you had the Pax Romana, which is a time of peace. This is the time when Yahshua came around. And then shortly after Yahshua departed, then everything was chaotic during Nero's time. Tacitus says this, Tacitus Book 1, 2. "I am entering on the history of a period rich in disasters, frightful in its wars, torn by civil strife, and even in peace, full of horrors. 4 emperors perished by the sword. There were 3 civil wars. There were more with foreign enemies. There were often wars that had both characters at once. There was success in the east, disaster in the west. There was disturbance in Illyricum. Gaul was wavered in its alliance. Britain was thoroughly subdued and immediately abandoned. The tribes of Sovei and Samarte rose concert against us, and the Dacians had the glory of inflicting as well as suffering defeats. The armies of Parthia were all but set in motion by the cheat of a counterfeit Nero. Now to Italy was prostrated by disasters either entirely novel or that reoccurred only after long succession of ages. Cities in Campania, richest plain, were swallowed and overwhelmed. Rome was wasted by conflagrations, the oldest temple consumed, and the capital itself fired by the hands of its citizens. Sacred rites have been profaned. There was profligacy in the highest rank. The sea was crowded with exiles, and the rocks polluted with bloody deeds. In the capital, there were yet worse horrors. It goes on. It goes on. We're talking about a chaotic time after the Pax Romana. But did Yahshua not mention that this would happen? Yes, he did. This is the easy portion. We're going to get into a lot more complicated time. David, you had a question. Sure. Sure. Let's get into it.
And, you know, you actually brought up some things, some points of some research that I have never heard of before. So I know you've done like a whole lot of research on this. So I want to kind of like back out just a little bit.
Sure.
And not get into the details. But as I think you're saying that the tribulation that's spoken of in Matthew 24 has already happened. That's what you're saying, right?
It is what I'm
fulfilled.
Saying.
Fulfilled.
Correct. And I disagree with that. And we already know we respectfully, you know.
Yeah, I knew that coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Know that